You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to Double Tap. This is Mash Those Buttons podcast dedicated to the FGC. I am your very excited host, because it kind of just hit me now that we're actually doing it at this point. But I'm not alone. Before I tell you what we're doing, of course, I've got Static G in the building. Static Champ, because if you saw the presets, he dusted me and Meza in Marvel. It's been a while. The boy still plays. He still rocks out of Tampa Never Sleeps while me and Meza are playing fighters or shooters or other things in the side. But then I got Meza in the building as well. I don't know what else to say to Meza.
Yeah, you kind of fall away from me. Yeah. Home world. It's okay.
I was wondering if you were going to throw something in there. All right, never mind. We got Mop, Meza. We got Mop.
Bro, I'm sad.
Welcome. It's okay. Those days are, we are no longer in our glory days of really competing Marvel. Listen, I'm more of a GG player now than anything else. I could throw all the excuses out.
The portrait is there for a reason.
It is.
Here's what's messed up. Gabe put on the Red Bull Conquest like he already won the tournament.
Yeah, he's like,
never coming back.
He's like, yeah, I qualify.
Make me wear the rally hat. I'll do that.
They never did a Red Bull Marvel, right?
No.
When they did Conquest, it was all just like, it was Uniclear, they did Guilty, they did Street Fighter.
It was messed up. We didn't have the time.
I don't think they did Tekken, right?
Street Fighter 5. No, since Street Fighter 5 started. Yeah. They started with that.
Yeah.
We never got it.
The thing is, Marvel 3 did have a Capcom Cup, though.
It did.
Yes.
It did early, like very early on. I think only
that, that oh, battle of the, yes. the...
Battle of the Stones whatever. We don't talk about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, that didn't that. Exist, did it?
All right. So welcome, guys. This is our 200th episode.
Congrats. We made
it. Hit the sound effects, right. Ja put in the air horns, all that good stuff. We're at episode 200. It's very, very special episode for us. Not only is it our episode 200, but it's also the last episode of 2020. This is being recorded on the 28th. We are T-minus 4 days before either we get to the 1st of January 2021 or December 32nd becomes discovered and we have a really shit year. We'll see what happens. You know, the world might explode. Zephyroth might decide to show up in the real world. Who knows? We'll find out in 4 days. But we're at episode 200. I'm going to be very honest. It kind of snuck up on me. We were talking about it a couple episodes ago, and that's kind of when it hit. Like, holy crap, we're about to hit episode 200. So it's going to be a little bit of a special episode where we're still going to cover a lot of things, especially that just got announced that may or affect 33% of this show's hosts right now. I instantly thought of this person when this trailer dropped. It was kind of, I think I even said his name out loud, like, and it wasn't expecting to, but we'll still have some coverage, but we're going to do a little bit of a reflection at the end of this episode, as well as to like kind of the journey of the show, and also kind of, you know, talk about some of the things that we want to do in the future, how we want to, you know, work 2021 out, and also even really look into the future of the FGC in 2021, because it's been a pretty incredible year in two ways. One, incredible in the sense of like how we've been able to pivot on the situation that is at hand with COVID-19 being what it is, and then the other side is like, you know, what can we look forward to, and, you know, what might shape up next year. Is it going to be for the better? Is it going to be for the worse? We'll see. But before we get into it, I want to give a quick shout out to everybody that listens. You know, I think it's only appropriate to say 200 episodes in, you know, I'm not expecting anyone to really even listen to us when we started this, however many years ago now. But it's only grown since, and I want to have a big thank you to everyone that does listen, everyone that new, if you're still fresh to us, some people that have been listening for several years now, which I know we have some OGs that definitely have. Shout outs to all of you for listening for all these years, and truly, truly humbling that, you know, we were able to come back and continue doing it. Also that we get, you know, whipped on our backs every once in a while to kind of stay consistent. Shout outs to Ja for that, but. All right, so let's jump right into Fighter's Corner.
I agree.
We're going to kind of go
everything
in
you said.
Really hard off the rip. And we're going to jump into the first big thing, which is, of course, Dungeon Fighters Duel was announced. As soon as I saw this, the first thing I thought of was Meza off the rip, because I know for a fact that Meza was pretty hardcore in this game. Like, So I want you, Meza, just give us the quick deets on Dungeon Fighters if people don't know what it is.
All right. So if you guys don't know what this is basically your beat 'em up, like a Streets of Rage style of fighting, just beat 'em up side scroller, but it's an MMORPG that just worked really well in Korea. It came over to America. Nexon destroyed it. Justin tried to support it. It just didn't do as well. I mean, they got money, obviously. But Neopol took over again after Nexon kind of screwed the pooch and couldn't update everything in time. And here we are. We're back to square one, where they also had an arena mode, which was pretty much just like your average fighting game, just with other elements to it. You know, you had your cooldowns, your skills, just like Grand Blue did. So now we're getting those elements brought to a real fighting game. This is kind of
fighter. Like, yeah, to a fighting game.
I mean, they've done Mugen stuff with this before, but nobody ever thought it would happen. This is a shocker.
So amongst a couple, I was aware of Dungeon Fighters, because especially if you're in fighting games or into anime and stuff, this will cross out, because it's a very unique looking game. The art style is one thing that, you know, really sticks out. The archetypes for the characters are really cool. They've also had other series or other incarnations of the IP. Like, there is a series or a couple episodes that like didn't do very well or anything like that. Yeah, and like you said, anime, it's very big in Korea and in China.
But yeah,
to put it in perspective, there's some people that have, you know, also have done some videos, do intros like this, and have gotten some information from them. Like, this game has something like made several billions of dollars because it's been around for quite some time now.
I think but Spooky said 15.
Yeah, something like
roughly
50.
Around
it's,
there.
It's been a while.
Got money.
It's been a while. It was very, very early. Like, what is it? You saw people like Punk tweet out like, "Oh, when I was a kid, I was playing this like crazy." You know, it's in a lot of people's wheelhouses. This game's done well. 700 million players or something at some point, which is pretty crazy.
It's interesting when they went global. Just to say, when they went global, so after Nexon dropped it, about 3 years later, 3-4 years later, Neopol picked it back up for America, and they made it global, actually. So nobody had access to the game outside of Korea and America. And when they made it global, that's when China, I believe it was China got it first, then Japan, and then we got it. And then they kicked everything off harder, stronger, better this time around with like season 4 or whatnot. And that's been kind of like the premise, because like a lot of the American players went over to Korean accounts that they had or that they got a hold of and played on there, because esports was a thing over there. So they had tournaments for Dungeon Fighter.
Yes, I remember. Yeah. I remember catching those online because it's a big PvP aspect to it. And it's an over-the-top MMO as well, right? Like, you know, you have crazy customization when it comes to the characters. You can have them dressed up in penguin outfits, endgame stuff, you know, usual MMO stuff. So for this to be announced, and then of course, you know, bring it, Arxis is going to be the main developers for it. I just want to put on note, Arxis, you know, Grand Blue, multiple Guilty Gears. Now let's add Dungeon Fighters. Am I missing anything else that they've just been decided to crack out within the last like year or so?
I'm not going to be surprised if they're going to have their hands on the Riot game, because we talked about that before.
Right, but yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that's all going to be internal, but they might be involved.
I hate to say it, but I feel like every other fighting game that's anime based is like, you're either going through Arc System Works or you're not a game. I just hate seeing it that way.
It's kind of wild to see that, because before it was just like, well, they did Guilty, they did like Persona, and then that's like really it. But they've really like kind of, you know, busted out since then. Now. Eyes on them, because you know, this looks, if you look at the characters, right, you know, this looks like the Korean Soul Bad Guy is what I'm seeing, right? Is it the main
character? So that is a Berserker.
What is it? Sword Master, so, or is it a Berserker? Okay.
So that's a Berserker, which is a variation of it.
Okay. I was confused. I actually thought it was Ragna, so I'm like, oh, it's just more.
Yeah, right.
What are these new characters?
So looking at the trailer, it is basically just looks like an over-the-top modded Guilty Gear at this point, because it's just the same engine, different characters, different assets, and then different archetypes. But it looks like it's going to an entire different group and community, and they're bringing them over, which once again, you know, they did it with Grand Blue. Grand Blue was kind of a proven concept, right? You know, Grand Blue didn't have a fighting game essence to it, a fighting game section to it. They decided to migrate that over, and there's definitely players that probably have made Grand Blue their first fighting game because they were fans of the game, or they played the game, the other version of it, or any other version of the IP. This is going to happen here. And for it being in such a large, large community, it's pretty fun because there's already aspects there that kind of translate. You know, there's the PvP, the one-on-one, or not technically the one-on-one because there's like team-based ones, right? Where you're like, it's your team versus mm-hmm. their team. And it's kind of like a Streets of Rage style, like 2.5D, right? You have the Y and X axis, yes. kind of deal. But I mean, I'm gonna tell you right now, the backgrounds look like they could have just been ripped from Guilty Gear. You could tell me right now, like, oh, this is just an expansion of Guilty Gear. I'd be like, yeah, I believe you. Like that looks, you know, that's jam right there.
I thought it was Blue.
Homegirl with the axe. You might as well swing it like Testament, right? Like it's kind of all there.
A lot of people got this vibe that they're like, oh, this is just gonna be another Guilty Gear ripoff. It's gonna suck, or it's just gonna be right below Guilty Gear because obviously we know Guilty Gear is coming out. So
yeah, we have Strive.
In my opinion, it's the people who are connected. It's not just Arxis, right? Arc System Works, they have all of the proper engine, the look. They don't necessarily have to make the gameplay hardcore Guilty Gear, but we know they're going to have an influence in there. But because it's coming from Neapol, and I know I talked with Red Fantasy, a.k.a. Nikomaki, a.k.a. whatever you want to call him at this point, but Red. He Slayer said player. The biggest... Yeah, he said the biggest problem right now with Arc System is that they don't really finish their games. Like, they're incomplete. And I don't disagree. Yeah. But...
Yeah, their DLC practices at times, you know, kind of leave you with a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
And your wallet.
I expect DLC for this game because there's just tons of characters. There's tons of different things.
What, 170 classes or something in that game? It's actually kind of, like, insane.
I think there's four per class. There's, more. Like... I think there's about 60 something or 70 something classes.
Oh, okay.
In total,
170. What did I see that?
It's a lot. It might be 170 by now because we still have like new characters being made for DNF, and they're not done. They're still pushing through. But here's the thing: Neapol is very, very adamant about getting shit done. So that's what I love about them, and you saw that. You could see that the way like I kind of praised them for making everything global once Nexon screwed the pooch. But the biggest thing is going to be aiding. Aiding is the cream of the crop of what you want for your fighting games. So from doing games such as all of the Naruto, you know, Clash of the Ninja games or Geketsu Ninja Taisen, they did all those. But not only did they do those, they did a lot of the Bleach Heat the Soul. So they had a lot of interesting systems there. They've worked with anime games with fighting elements in it. But they've also obviously people know them for the Bloody Roar. So, I mean, we might get some references there.
Yes, that's right.
So that's a big thing. But I just see it as like they've worked on Fate Unlimited Codes, which that game was already busted, but it had a really fun system. So I can see Guilty Gear having a lot of the influence, but you're going to see a lot of aiding style come out of it. We might see more Tatsunoko versus Capcom style stuff. We might see things we've not expected them to make. And I mean, like, just going through their list of games that they've worked on, they've even worked on, I don't even think anybody knew about this, but they worked on Inuyasha Fetal Combat for PS2. Not the best game, but...
PS2 or one?
They've worked with anime games. Yeah, it was really rough. But something we were playing earlier, they worked on Marvel. So they worked on Marvel 3, the original. So we are in safe hands. I don't know why they worked on Judgment. I feel bad for that. But overall... They've worked on some big titles that have done very well in certain aspects that we like about it, right? Obviously, we don't know who else probably had their hands and toes and dipped into it. But this is going to be, in my opinion, this is going to be one of the biggest fighting games next to Guilty Gear and maybe Street Fighter or Tekken. And the reason why I say this is because that community is really tight-knit. Now, a lot of them just do mostly the dungeon running aspect of the game. But those arena players... have been hell-bent on waiting for something to come.
Competitive as hell. Yeah. So they're definitely cut from the same cloth as us.
Absolutely, 100%. And they'll even say they play other fighting games. So I'm excited to see them transfer over. I'm excited to see a lot of the dungeon runners just support the game by getting the game and trying to play it as much as they can. Because who doesn't want a new version of their game, even if it's not the same? So maybe they'll do something similar to Granblue Fantasy. Now, my thing is this. People need to realize, Psy Games had a hand, you know, in that heavily. So that's a mobile games company involving themselves in the functionality of the game. That's why you got a lot of those story mode system things. Now, I think we're going to get story mode stuff, but I don't think we're going to get that. I personally don't want it, but I don't want the skill cooldown stuff or anything like that. I wanted to play like a fighting game without it. I want people to learn how to play it personally. I mean, we don't need to have skills, but
yeah, it's,
and that's the thing. I just don't think we're going to get that whole like cooldown skill mechanic thing like Granblue, and people keep stressing that we are. And I'm like, we're not, because this is more of an Arxis aiding game. It's not an Arxis side games game. And Neepole doesn't like
this
that,
is,
I think.
This is all speculation at this point. Because, I mean, like, there's one main question that needs to be answered. Because right now, we don't have any info. This just dropped,
I think. You know, there's rollback.
Yesterday or something like that. Thank you. Like, literally, the main question is, like, how are they going to implement the netcode? Are they going to go rollback? I mean, Arxis is implementing rollback in Strive. You know, it's kind of like the thing you need to do now. Which we're going to actually talk about their other IPs with Guilty Gear in a second. But, you know, that's a big thing, because this game is, you know, in the foreseeable future right now, you know, you're going to have to build this online, this community, because you can't stress on offline events right now. Like, it's such a crapshoot.
I promise there will be crossplay. I'm positive there's going to have to be crossplay, because
they need to have crossplay. They need to have rollback. Like, those are the two big things. If they don't have that, they're already failing. Like, I don't give a shit what it is. It's already going to suck. It's just going to suck for a lot of people.
Yep.
And then C through F is like, what are they going to do to bring something fresh to the table? You know, with Granblue, you were just talking about it. You know, we got our cooldowns there with the simplified and then technical system. Strive is already heading that direction of kind of getting a little bit more simplified, because they want more of the casual in. And considering they have so many millions of people playing this game, they want to get a good chunk of those people in, so they will do what they need to get them. Remember, we are the competitive scene. We are a small percentage. I say it time and time and again. We are not the main selling factor here. They need to sell units, but that does not mean they have to sacrifice it all. That just means they need to come up with unique and creative solutions, which I'm a fan of how Granblue did it. I don't see why they couldn't do that for this either. So, as of this point, Dungeon Fighters Duel, we don't have any other information. Hopefully, we'll get something really soon past this, the trailer. And I think they had like a small interview with one of the producers afterwards. But the one I saw wasn't translated, so I can't really tell you what my man said. In the meantime, though, we're actually going to check out some guilty action. So, what's it called? We're T-minus 4 days, no, 3 days before we actually get a new trailer, which will be Anji. It's already been confirmed. So that's dropping in a quick second. I mean, besides him, let me see.
Does that kind of like bother you? Does that kind of like bother you? We already know who we're getting and what we're like. I don't really have anything to expect from it. I'm just like, oh, cool, another Guilty Gear character up until the game releases.
No, we've known about it since the trailer, and it's like, all right, whatever. Yeah, we know there's going to be more characters that they're adding.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm just to the point where I'm like, I love the way BlazBlue cross-tag did. There's a lot of their stuff. They gave us like all like four or five of the characters at once, and they were like one special character that we're like, oh, we're excited. Who is it? And then, hey, I hate Tank, but Tank was a good addition to the game. He was fun. It's just one of those things where I love his outfit, though. I love the style that they gave him. I'm just be honest, bro.
I'm just trying to figure out the point of this one. But so Anji Mito will be getting the trailer in the showcase. That's not the only other thing, of course. If you have been playing Guilty Gear, Accent Core Plus R, you'll know that the actual game itself is officially out, or rather the GGPO update is officially implemented. You no longer have to be in the opt-in beta version of it on Steam. If you are, for some reason, if you're having issues linking with your friends they were playing before, they might be on the official version. You have to opt out to get out of that version. The beta version is still live because there's some tools that they are still having available in it, so that's still live. But if you want to play the official updated version, which of course adds the GGPO, the player rooms replay function, training room features, of course, have been added. That just dropped, I believe it was the 22nd, right before Christmas.
Do they have to pay for that, or is that just an additional thing?
No, 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 that was just an additional thing.
That's pretty
just,
cool.
You just got it. Because the beta was an opt-in part, and then they implemented it into the real version if you already own the game. So with that, I kind of want to, you know, I've sat down, and I think Guilty Gear is in a really funny place because the quote-unquote revival of Plus R was kind of a big deal for a lot of people. That game is seeing a lot of people playing it. Everyone was just jumping on it because, hey, look at that. They implemented GGPO and some of the older games. You know, the idea of adding that to older games like that would be great, considering this game just had a really bad netcode. And with Strive around the corner, it's kind of like a weird sandwich, right? I didn't start with Rev 2, but I really started really enjoying the Exard series more. When it came to Guilty Gear, when it came competitively, when I really started to jump into like frame data and matchups, da da da. Now taking going from like the Exard series and then going backwards, and I have played Accent Core. I just didn't play it to that extent. I was playing it more casually, right? So to go backwards, I can see it's a funny situation because I could see why people were having such an issue with Exard being slower, because it is like way slower. The the RC, the Roman cancel system, is in Rev is like it's a little busted, a little more busted, I think, than it is in Accent Core. But I've enjoyed so much Accent Core lately. Like it's even through all the ass whoopings I get, because you jump on, I'm gonna tell you right now, you jump on there, you're just gonna get beat up. Like if you are fresh, you are just gonna get beat up, and this game gives no fucks. It'll catch your record will include the casuals. So if you're just getting casuals, not even ranked. Like, I think I'm like 20 or 30 games winning, but I have like 100 losses. I'm like getting destroyed. But those, a lot of those are casuals because I'll play on Wednesdays with people and just offline with friends, and then I'll do some ranked and just mix it all together. So it gives no fucks about how you feel. They're like, listen, you've lost this many times, and it's like. That's okay. That's okay because there's so many people that have already played this game for so long, right? There's so many guys that are just cracked out on this game. It has not stopped. They didn't care for Rev. They stayed on it. And so much tech has already been built up. Every character that isn't your character feels cheap. But that's the usual steps. There's like a certain flow of these things when it comes to jumping into games like this that especially have a long pedigree behind it and a long history behind it. It's fine because you know what? I'm finding myself having so much fun playing it. And it kind of also sucks because if I don't get that same feeling with Strive, I'm going to feel real hurt. And the way, you know, people are feeling about Strive, they're like, geez, like, you know, yes, they're adding more accessibility to it, but like, it's a good thing because you want more of the casual people to come in, but those that like myself or those that really enjoy Accent Core and playing that game at a hardcore level, because you have to get good, you have to be hardcore about it. Like, you have to know your RC, your blue, your free FRCs, your red RCs. You have to know, yeah, even if it's your basic B&B, you know, bread and butter combos, that's fine. But if you want to do the extra stuff, like, your execution needs to be on point, and it's just so much faster. Throw ranges are crazy. Like, it's a whole other mess there that I enjoy. But then, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, but we got Strive around the corner. I'm like, damn, like, I remember the beta. I don't know how to feel. Like the freaking wall, system mechanic is like, I want to reset neutral every time, but it's like, or take the damage. Well, I was thinking,
isn't the wall going to be a little bit of meta? Like you knock them down on the wall, that could be kind of as a hard knockdown, and then you can get a mix up afterwards, or even a side switch.
I'm thinking that too. You're sacrificing damage for getting that position back. Or, that's what we're seeing at by the end of the beta. Was that?
Or is it? Gonna, like you said, sacrificing damage, or is it that much more damaging to do it? Or even is it like, you know, is the game gonna be that much damaging that if you get a wall splat, you're probably gonna win the game anyway?
I don't know. We'll have to see, because the other side of it is that, you know, we're waiting for the beta.
Yeah, and
which hopefully in Angie's trailer shows us.
And I also don't want to just be playing Mei. I want to play other characters.
Well, you don't want to
hit. Yeah. I only use Mei because she was the best. She was the best one in there.
She was disgusting. Yeah. You got to like do six dolphins at one counter hit combo was just like gross. And the damage, I just hope they fix the damage. Like, holy crap. Like, in Plus R, you can do you have to have a really honest hit to start a
Okay,
I'm not gonna say honest for everybody.
You have the almost honest.
You have to have a almost so honest hit to really do. Yeah, unless you're Slayer or something, right? Then it's like I got meter, ooh, the punch. let me then RC that out the way. Oh, you just jumped on me. Let me anti-air super you into. Oh, I got more meter. Let me just then wall bang you from there. Like it's just rough, but. You know, the damage that hopefully gets the damage I'm hoping just gets adjusted. I'm hoping this beta shows a little bit more for it. But, you know, Accent Core Plus R, I'm having so much fun. And also because Baikin's better in that game than she is in Rep 2. In Rep 2, it's like it's way harder to do what she does. Like, it's like I'm working backwards. I'm like, I saw this version. I'm like, yo, that's hot. That's pretty fire. Like, she's got really cool mechanics, red parry and all that. It's still there, but it's no longer. I have to do so many inputs. I'm like, but god damn, is it trash?
She's a lot more punishable in Exard.
Yeah, like in Exard, it's like, dude, I have to play defensive. But if I don't play defensive, I can't implement all her tools. But then if I play, my offense tools aren't really that good. So where the fuck am I supposed to sit at? I don't know. And Accent Core, it's like, oh, I'm blocking. Let me just, I got 25 meter. Let me just, you know, freaking quarter circle. What is it? Not quarter circle. It's going to be 412 you to dust, and then let me use some of my meter. So now, guess what? My next hit, you can't block, or you can't jump, or you can't. Everything I do for the next 10 seconds is a counter hit on you. At least give me something to get you worried, get off me. Because damn, when I have to deal with the Slayers, the Enos, the Testaments that are just disgusting,
you're getting abused,
or the Abbas that are, you know, as soon as you get the blood pack, it's like I'm the best character in the game. Good luck. Right. Something,
right.
No, that's why I'm not looking forward to playing Anji in this game. Like, oh, overhead, you know, projectiles overhead projectiles to just unblockable you. It's like, what?
I mean, you should expect nothing.
Huh? Oh, let me. I got something in my ear.
Just quit the game.
You say no, overhead?
EX moves in
overhead projectile?
Yeah, EX moves in plus R are pretty cheap.
They are.
I'm gonna tell you now. It's probably not gonna be overhead this time around. I don't know why I'm saying that. No, I feel it.
They can't. That would be so busted. So busted. The shit that's in Accent Core, you look back on, you're like, excuse me? Mm-hmm. Like, Slayer has dash cancels. Dash cancel, back dash. Slayer has a back dash that is like invo. It's like, cool, because he doesn't have an actual dash. He has like teleports. Oh, but if I back dash, jump cancel, the next move now has the priorities of, and the invincibility of that back dash. That's, it's like, what? Yep. Is it?
Yeah, but Slayer feels way faster.
Like everything? Like you can, like, everything gets that?
Mappa punch teleport, yes.
But I'm talking everything. Like command grab also gets that?
Probably.
That's because I don't know all
the details. They teach you that in the trainings, because even Ino can do the dash up faultless in the air. There's jump installs for her and for Chip. You know what jump installs are, yes?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, for those that don't know, you do a jump cancel move, but then you cancel that jump into a special move, so you jump cancel the special move so that later on in your combo you can still use that jump.
Yes,
that's weird. I'll say
screw Slayer. I have to deal with him on a daily basis here, so
shout out to Tomahawk. He's been my Slayer my Slayer destroyer for the past like couple weeks. All right, so next we got some Soul Calibur. I know it's been kind of in a, not in a rut, but hasn't had a whole lot going for it. But we got a couple things here. So Mez, give us a heads up. What
so,
we got?
So obviously, you know, they were at tour ended quite some time ago, but they are still doing, with, you know, Hoenn coming out, they have tier list, and this has been the hotness. You know, we saw it in Dragon Ball. We saw where Goichi was pulling out stuff too, saying like, look, this is
we
what
have
it
assists
is.
Assists and stuff. Yeah.
Well, everybody's doing like this top, high, mid, low, or they're doing like God tier S plus to about A or B, sometimes C. But right now, Rich Sticks has one up that some people are just kind of like, some of this makes sense, but then they get to something like seeing the top and they're like, Nightmare? Yoshimitsu?
Has been good since the rip.
But
like, Nightmare has been competitive since this game has dropped. Like, I have not seen, especially when we were doing, back in the day when there were locals around and actual tournaments, like, you would always see a Nightmare in like top 8.
Well, that's due to the fact that that was one of the best Nightmares playing during the time. But here's the thing. People are saying this character just fits the meta right now. It's perfectly. So, you know, you start seeing this consistency even with Zed Soul Calibur 6 tier list. He even has it where, you know, he has Nightmare up there. People are like, what the hell is going on? But, you know, they're putting characters that you would expect that have won tournaments way lower in due to the meta, just like Dragon Ball, right? So, like, you even see it in the other tier list over here, too, for Ender's J, who is kind of one of the first people to start putting it out. You know, a lot of people are saying, why is Sungmina so high when some people have it lower? But I love seeing these tier lists because from different perspectives, like, I can look at Goichi's and be like, well, Goichi's saying because of the meta. And then you look at some other people, they're saying, well, for this game, for the meta. And then some people are like, nah, this character's straight trash, like, based on paper, stuff like that. But they're like, that's not what makes them bad. You know, there's more to it. So I think it's interesting to see how different it is.
I like Ender's J. I like when he posts his, because he's just like got little screenshots of like, look, this is each character and this is why. Versus like, you know, some of these guys also are doing YouTube videos, yeah, and you could just watch the YouTube video. But I'm like, dude, I don't got enough time for that. Like, just give me the quick TLDR. And even then, it's only a couple lines. I love Astro's one. It's like, with exclamation points in S tier. He's like, if a player is having a good day and guessing correctly 60% of the time, he is quadrupled S tier. Which, if you have seen an Astaroth player, when they do correctly guess, right?
That's hurt.
Ring
it's,
out.
Your life is gone, or you're rung out. Like, you're not seeing the ground. Like, it's actually hilarious.
When I look at that, it makes me think of Tekken, and it makes me think of King when he gets like the, damn, what is it? It's like a special command that you should always break. You should never be able to not break it. Like, even if you get it wrong, you should still be breaking that. It's the one where he rolls around on the ground and takes like 60% of your life. Yeah.
Yeah.
that's what one of his throws is.
So he says, if a normal person with average with his guesses, he's like B tier. And then if he's having a bad day and you're not guessing right at all, he's F tier. He's just like the worst. So he's like, it's like, you're either fucking great, you're okay, or you're bad. That's it. So he says this character's controversial now. He says he's good. He's just inconsistent, which some characters are like that. Tier, a B tier in Jolly, and Gloomy is basically super Cervantes. Like, I love these guys of tier lists where they just like, here's the quick, like, you don't have to explain every little detail, but like, give me your you know, 2 cents as to why you're
he's
saying
good,
this.
He has two and
why is where is Cervantes? He's up here, right? He's god tier neutral, very high damage, very safe, very flexible and safe into many matchups aside from like two, which I'll take points away because he didn't list the two, because it was only two names. Like, you could have just done those two. Like,
I take points away because he plays the character. So I know you're not trying to be biased, but if it's okay, if everybody's does, agreeing, right, then it's fine. You know what I mean? But if you're like, oh, no,
you think that's the downplay? Was that the downplay? Let me see. Cervantes is
no, he's up there.
Where is he? Wait,
right there, third.
I can't tell. That picture is like real tiny.
Yeah, no, I couldn't tell who any of these characters were with pictures.
Yeah, he's in S. He's in perfect. He's in S perfect for.
Oh, he's right here. Yeah, I couldn't tell. Yeah, he's S. Okay, yeah. So he's not really downplaying. Other people are saying. The same deal.
He's been up there for the whole time, so it's not like it's fake or anything. He's real shit.
Yeah, we have definitely seen him in the top eights as well when it came to events. So. So we've got an event calendar that has been born.
So
on SoulCaliberPortal.com.
The reason, and you could see it, the reason why this happened, Appleboom obviously took up the action after Rakuta complained that he's missing out on huge Soul Calibur 6 tournaments, when clearly they're all over Twitter, they're all over the place. Like, you go on smash.gg and you find it.
Shout out to Appleboom as well.
She does a great job.
Plenty of times. She's awesome. Yeah.
So, with that being said, one of the tournaments that did just pass was... they did a Queen of the Ring Invitational, where they had a top eight set of females come by and play. I believe, when I last recall, the first place. Well, I don't even care about that. That's not the important part. And realistically, I'm not trying to downplay it. They did well. It was a very good event. They raised $660 for the Match Arena, Soul Calibur community in general, which that all got paid out. It got paid out. Third place was 10%, so they got $66. Second place got 20%, which was $132. First place was $462. So in total, like, that's an amazing thing to see happen, because then that gives incentive to the players to want to do it again, right? No, it's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
But right after they finished, which that was a good event to watch too. Like, I'm not all for... segregated events, but I think it's good when you want to showcase players, especially female players, which when there's not a lot of them, so it's really cool. But the Deuce Ex Calo, which kind of was an interesting one. They were capped at 64, 65 players, and they had a waiting list just in case anybody dropped down, and they would bring in the next person. Obviously, that was a really good event. Some of the top players, some of the females actually from the Invitational, jumped in and tried to throw their fair share in there. But the important part is that whole event had 3.4K for the Match Reno. So they paid out top eight. That was really good for an online tournament.
That's good money.
Yeah, for an online tournament.
That's more than you'll get on a side event half the time.
I know, right? Some people, you know, Industry obviously won that, and he was like, yo, I'm going to go buy mad food, like mad burgers for the Deuce squad. So like
most expensive sushi.
Yeah, like it's nice to see that the players are getting their due and the community is supporting, and even people on the outside that may be interested in watching. I think this is going to be the new thing for online events. They need to kind of jump on board with Match Arena. I'm not like saying like it needs to happen, but I don't know if this is where the money's going to come from people.
When it comes to fighting, this has honestly been a topic that's been in talks every once in a while. It's like not just fighting games, but really the direction it's going, crowdfunding, you know, the prize more often, which things like Match Arena with whatever sponsor codes, because, you know, sponsorships are still going to be a thing. I don't think that's never not going to go away, because, you know, the marketing value is there. But when it comes to prizes like that and just being funded by the community at no actual cost to the community, I think that's the way it's going to go. It's interesting though. It's.
I mean, we see it happen in the NBC.
But it doesn't. Yes. But it skews per community, which is like the other side of that coin. It's like you'll see one game, maybe we'll get thousands of dollars in support, but then the other might get only a couple hundred. Right? It's like
I'm kind of curious, because like the thing is, I obviously watch a lot of NSG stuff, and I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, man, you know, shooters, they kind of have it easy, because I feel like these bigger companies invest into it, right? They're like, oh, we'll put 10 grand down because, yeah, we got it. Yeah, but it's different
because remember, fighting games, when it comes to the pyramid of esports, we're at the bottom. Like, it's just facts. We're at the bottom, and guess what? Smash is slightly higher.
Sometimes I feel like
fighting games are at the bottom. Smash is at tier two.
Then Smash is there for now. Shooters.
Yeah, then your shooters, your speedrunners, your Counter-Strikes, your StarCrafts, which I think StarCraft is still at the bottom now.
They're not getting better.
It's been up and down. You know, your Dota's is still up there.
CS North American's at the bottom right now because they don't exist anymore.
Yeah, because Valorant is at the top for NA and it's at the bottom for EU and everything else. More for EU, because Japan's actually playing Valorant. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. Get back into it. So Soul Calibur portal.com. Go check it out for the events page there. Shout outs to Apple Boom for setting all this up. All it took was a tweet. It's funny things, you can see it at the bottom. It's like, oh, I missed this. It's like, well, here you go.
That's like you know what that is? That's the political statement. That's the political statement, right? You know, where you're like, we had some issues getting it out. No, realistically, we're all like, I posted. I was like, recruiter, bro, I don't even play Soul Calibur. I can find this shit. Come on, man.
I don't know. Sometimes it's
some people still don't know how to use Twitter.
For real. How? For real. Myself included. It's all good. So with that, we have one more. No, do we? No, yeah. That's actually going to round us up here for the Fighters Corner in terms of game announcements.
Real quick, though, we did get a little bit of voice sample over of Dan, I think, on Street Fighter's Twitter page.
I didn't see it. Not to say, like, I'm gonna go into a little bit about like when it comes to I was covering things. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but so Dan got a voice line. Like, there you go. All right, so we're gonna jump into the rants of the FGC. This is just a couple little random pieces here and there I wanted to bring up. This actually was from last week. I meant to bring it up, but of course, you know, we had Coach check on, and he was, you know, giving us our mindset reads and such that we have to in order to break through certain barriers. But if you haven't had a chance to go check out Akito Bass, which is A-K-I-T-O B-A-S-S, he's gone ahead and not only is he, he's obviously a producer of some sort, but, you know, I guess he's a fan of fighting games, and this isn't his first video. He's got several other ones before, but this is the one that really blew up. he does Bossa Nova covers and such for different games, which is pretty sick. But he hooked up his MIDI controller and like keyboard mix. I literally looked up the name. I think it's the Akai Pro 3 or something. But he hooked it up to some MVC2. This clearly was either done by some sort of controller, or this is a PC version, you know, ROM. And, you know, we've always made jokes about how, like, combos, right? A fundamental piece of fighting games. Some games do crazy combos. Some, you know, their best combos are maybe 4 or 5 hits. Looking at you at Samurai Showdown, more or less, like, average, and not, like, crazy known for combos. But Marvel 2, on the other hand, is known for incredibly long and ridiculous combos. None too more infamous than the, you know, Iron Man Infinite. So he decided to hook up his MIDI controller to it, give it a couple sample beats, and the combo itself just creates a very hip-hop-ish and, like, sickening beat, and he's just, like, killing it. Like, I'm actually tripping out over how it actually naturally sounds.
Yeah.
And this isn't the only case of it either. He's done it with Dragon Ball FighterZ, where he did the Vegeta fireball loops. It's not as cool as this one, but it's still really awesome because we've always, like I said, when it came to teaching people combos, I always told them, like, there's a rhythm. This is quite literally the rhythm of an Iron Man Infinite in Marvel 2. And when I saw that, I was just like, I mean, I can't stop smiling now, but I was like smiling from ear to ear, like, yo, that is so
say it like it is.
Awesome.
You want to learn how to do a fucking infinite? This is how.
Yeah, you want to, I'm waiting for now this sample beat, that voice, get mixed together into some sort of meme song, because someone's just going to do it. And if no one does it at this point, take this as the idea to go do it, because I think it's really, really cool. But regardless, you should go follow Akito Bass, AKITOBASS on Twitter. He's a freelance composer, bass player, Japanese translator, and fighting game enthusiast. Right there, my man put it right down the spot with
not
the joystick.
I'm kind of mad he did it on Sentinel, though.
I think you gotta give him the doubt. He's like, look, dude, if I'm gonna do it on any character,
everything else is great. Like, thank God he didn't use Juggernaut. That would have been weird.
But that would have been that would have been a little strange.
I'd have called him Mom, like, dog. Oh, it's so good. I love it. No, that's 100% like perfect. I was just thinking, like, at the end, he could have went into the training mode theme, just boop doop 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 doop.
Yeah.
But I like it. It just goes so well with Marvel 2 because Marvel 2 is so jazzy and it's
hip hop jazz. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's the actual scene around it. You know what it's really built off of. So it's like for this to be somewhere 2000s, in there that you cannot like ignore. It was pretty sick.
Like
so.
I'm a big Persona fan. I'm a big Persona fan, but when I went to his page and checked out his YouTube, he has a lot of Undernight and Birth stuff. So that was really cool. So he's
a lot of Undernight. All right. So this also just dropped on Christmas Day. If you didn't get any other presents, consider this one to be another one. This is a game that, like, surprisingly, like, you know, kind of throws me off that some people still don't know kind of like exists. Because during the timeline where this dropped, initially, like very, 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 very early on, like pre-beta, Dragon Ball FighterZ kind of overshadowed it. This was completely fan-made. This is, of course, I think like the actual official title is Hyper DBZ, but this is like a new version that has been announced called the Indigo build. Complete 2D, as traditional as it gets, you know. Very classic. You can kind of make it, I guess you could say, like, you know, the 16-bit era type of game. But it's awesome. Like, it is just chock full of fan service. If you are a Dragon Ball fan, you know what every Easter egg is, what every move is coming from. The animations are unbelievable. The look, everything about it just screams amazing and a lot of passion too. But like I said, this kind of like got overtook very early on because then, you know, FighterZ got announced and really that was like the mainstream game. This was really just a little indie game on the side that was kind of scratching an itch we didn't know we had until FighterZ dropped. And we're like, holy crap, this game was already like on the way there. But it was already doing things well before FighterZ too. You know, this is before you know, FighterZ came out. So there's mechanics here that were very interesting that maybe, you know, it would have been funny if Arxis would have adopted some of these. And for all we know, maybe they did. Like, you know, you have the you have the Gohan kicks and such, but not to say they got it from this specifically, but they dropped the new version. Like I said, this is like the Indigo build, because it's including complete workarounds for all these characters. Like it's just an entire combo showcase. It's awesome to watch. But then, of course, added updates such as Goku Blue, Vegeta Blue. I don't think there's any other characters past that. I think maybe Super Saiyan Vegeta.
I do appreciate the Super Boo before. Over Kid Boo, you know? That's a big thing for me. I like Kid Boo, but Super Boo is kind of cool too. So that was really nice to see that. I don't know.
I prefer Super Boo over Majin.
I like this little part here, that the Dr. Briefs like training stage is kind of like an homage to what's it called? Like the barrels in Street Fighter 2. Remember those bonus stages and such? That's really what that was. Barrels, yeah, Super Saiyan Vegeta was the additional to this, because before the only version of Super Vegeta was Majin Vegeta at the time. But dude, it's pretty hardcore. Like the animations.
Yeah, that's what
like,
I was gonna say.
Are just incredible. Like, and it's all 2D, so if you're a fan of the 2D, look more than, you know, this is right up your alley, and they did not skip out on it in any way, shape, or form. Scary lady. You got your supers that are just like super cinematic. It's just, yeah, what more can I say? This all speaks for itself. Like, it's pretty wild looking. The intros too are pretty sick. The intros are kind of insane. Indigo build, it's out now. This is version 5.0, and now are adding the, like I said, they kind of made the big announcement. They're showing the Super Saiyan Blues are additional pieces to the game. I don't know if it's a mechanic. I think it's a mechanic, but we'll see. This is out and live now. Make sure to go support them. Make sure to go check out their Discord. You can check out, looks like it's Balthazar, Balthazar on YouTube. Check out the video. Go peep it out there. Go show some support for some fellow DBZ heads. And now, before we get into, you know, kind of reflecting on 2020 and reflecting on this year, this show, future and such, let's just take a quick look at probably one of the worst takes I've ever heard or seen. I'm not going to put a lot of time into this because it is just not worth it, clearly. Mm-hmm. The person that posted this is well uninformed. And to put it in layman's terms, is an idiot. Sorry, you know, don't at me or at me. I don't really give a shit. But this has just kind of been making the circulations around. This was just dropped like 2 days ago, right after Christmas. Mika, and I don't really care about putting your Twitter out there, to be honest, stating, let me see, what was the first hit? Oh, yeah. All right, it has to be said, fighting games are categorically bad. This is what started the entire thread. Oh, and God. Just continues to talk about how it's brain poison that punishes you for missing an arbitrary 50-button combo and has the single worst character movement of any game genre. Just keeps going. Talks about platform fighters clearly taking jabs at Smash. No one is actually, quote-unquote, good at fighting games. They've just learned the order of buttons they should hit for whatever one character they've locked themselves into the game and hit it over and over as fast as possible to claim victory / defeat. I'm losing brain cells reading this.
Can I just say, I'm curious what game this person likes, right? You know,
funny thing is, that's what someone said at the bottom was like, they are like, a lot of people were responding did you get your ass kicked?
I like FPSs, I think that's what they said. Can you scroll down a little bit more?
I don't know.
Right around, a little bit lower. I swear I saw FFS.
FFS.
Never mind.
Yeah,
I don't know. Either way, like,
and if you play Smash, you're honestly just a pedophile, straight up. Like, they just wrote that.
Yeah,
wow. They just wrote that.
Wow. My thing is this. Oh my God. My thing is this. I get it. We even made some threads with some hot takes, just on purpose and stuff like that. I'm all for it if you don't like fighting games, but trying to wrap it around some illogical shit like this, like. like I'm reading the comments, but it's the
biggest rage quit.
This is what it is. This is honestly just like the worst take ever. I mean, we, like you said, we take hot takes all the time, and we could be wrong, absolutely. Yeah. But like, this is like intentionally a dense, B, misinformed, C, like, at the end of the day, I'm gonna be honest, it's an opinion. So like, you're not about to live rent free in my head for this. Like, I just want to put it out there. Like, you're an idiot. And like, if you did this just to like stir the pot, like, I guess, whatever. Yeah. Like, I don't, pass that. It's just, I cannot believe someone would just like take the time.
Why?
And just be like, this is why it's bad and like be so wrong.
The quote tweets are amazing, by the way.
The replies are great. The thread is amazing.
Here's what hurts. This person has gotten so much goddamn attention from these retweets and all this other stuff. But we'll write something important. We'll see a tier list, or we'll see like an actual tournament. And we got like damn near only 100 people retweeting. Get this shit off my timeline, man. I want to see this. Like, this is just like, I think this is just sad because, like, look, if this is them making a joke, like you said, it's whatever. All right. But if it's real and this person means this stuff, which I kind of feel like you do if you wrote this much.
I think so.
I just personally feel you don't need to play fighting games. That's
like you should. I'm gonna tell you right now. You should have opened your mouth. Like, it's like, it's one of those things where don't say, if you're not gonna say something nice, don't say something. Don't say anything at all. Right? Like, what worth is this? Why? Like, it even goes into Alien and how putting Alien in Mortal Kombat took away from its greatest pieces that made it cool. I'm like, did you play Alien in Mortal Kombat? Like, did you play the game and really look at what they did to make that character like compete in that game, and the movelets and the very specific kit that was designed for that character on top of like Predator and everyone else they've thrown in?
I'm gonna tell you this, like, now, Dre. They're talking about because it's bipedal. I want you to look at the right, and it says relevant people. If you scroll up, you see where it says sucks at fighting games. Yeah, you have no say in this anymore.
Clearly, you've
already lost that. Your bio.
Don't want to throw any more time on this person. I just thought this was fucking hilarious. If you want to laugh, go check out the tweet. It's made its way on, you know, our fighters, our Kappa, like whatever game
our Discord
he has announced. Our Discord. Yeah, it's definitely been posted there. It's hilarious. I saw it on Discord and I was like, oh yeah, we're gonna rip into this, best believe. But it's just like, Agent posted up in, you know, on the Twitch. Like, you know, if you're this guy, just quit the genre. Like, yeah, like there's no point. I'm not going to just run into someone else's crib that I have no, you know, reason. I'm not going to run into the FPS crib or the MMO crib or the RTS crib. More specifically, RTS, because I play all those other games. And be like, you're all trash and this is why. But, why? Like, where was the point? Whatever. You're just making yourself a target. Hope you enjoy your New Year's getting DM'd and just getting shit on
for
2021.
I will say this. Nobody should go after this person personally or any type of way like that.
Yeah, please don't go after this person. But guess what? You posted it up on the internet. Like, you're going to deal with a bunch of people. Like, the amount of the retweeting is hilarious. I think it's like 4K on the initial one, but I can guarantee you like 90% of that is just be like, yo, look at this dumb bitch. Like, I'm sorry, dude. That is so ridiculous.
There's one that says, I haven't even started reading this and already I'm, and then there's a picture of a dude on the toilet like,
I haven't gone through the whole thing because I'm just like, I can't. I just can't. Like, after the first or second post, I was like, all right, I don't need to spend any more time here, but I don't want to spend any more your guys' time listening to us rant on this person, but I just wanted to throw that out there. I thought that was hilarious and rather random. Also, shout outs, thank you, Agent, for the 200th celebration. So we're going to jump into the meat and potatoes of this show for this week, which is going to be our focus attack. We're going to kind of take a look at a bit of a reflection on the show for a little bit, and then also look at 2021 and kind of our expectations, you know, kind of put, you know, we're this is kind of a twofold. We're at the end of the year, this is the last show before 2021 starts, and then this is our 200th episode, so it's kind of a good way to bundle those up. So let's just jump into the folks attack. So 200 show, you know, it's, when did we start this? Not a good way to start, but dude, MKX will still be like character. I remember Kung Lao MKX trailer that dropped, and that was one of our earliest shows, was that episode covering that.
Yeah, because I remember this is when I was still running the sessions in New Jersey, and we were like, let's just do it.
Yeah, so this show, November 12th, 2014. We've been on this show for 6 years now.
Wow.
We've been doing this show for 6 years. I love that the episode number one is 15 quesadilla bombs and counting. That was literally the title. Clearly El Fuerte was a thing then, right? Because episode 2 was Let Me Sharpen My Hat. That was the Kung Lao one. I remember writing that title and being like, yo, this is a dope ass title. I will never be able to beat this. And clearly I have beaten it, and Static G has beaten it, and Mez has beaten it.
Sometimes.
Don't take that out of context. That sounds weird. So you know, this show started because, you know, Ja, who owns Mash Those Buttons, is a good friend of ours, got introduced years and years ago. You know, was in the scene, or, you know, was like playing, and he got introduced more into the scene because, you know, the people that he met and that we knew got together, and we went to like 8 on the Break. I remember talking to him out there out in 8 on the Break about, like, you know, computer parts and talking all kinds of shit. One of our friends got somebody to rage quit in Marvel, literally threw his sandals and ran across the street. I don't know if y'all were there for that, but that was and that was tournament. That was tournament. Yeah, a lot of weird things happened at the Break. A lot of weird things happened.
I feel like I've made people rage quit in that game there.
Yeah.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ja. And I just wanted to hop in here real quick and give a bit more context to that story that Dre just kind of skimmed over, because it's one of my favorite stories to tell when it comes to the FGC. But I need to set the scene a bit more, so hopefully you can feel what happened. So if you've never been to 8 on the Break, right, then you have the venue, and then across the street from the venue, which is a kind of a major road in the area, across the street from the venue, there is a train station that's on a platform. And then below that, you have a parking lot, and it's nighttime. So at least at this time, the lights were on the track or on the platform, but in the parking lot, there wasn't that much light. It was pretty dark, and that's going to be important in a second. So the guy in question, he gets beat by our friend, and not only did he get knocked out of the tournament with his loss, our friend, he actually ended up using an infinite and just trapped him, and there's nothing he could do about it, and he ended up losing. So that's the type of mad he was. He was mad that he got knocked out of a tournament. He got cheesed out of a tournament, essentially. That's the type of anger that this man is feeling, okay? So me and Dre are talking outside, and all of a sudden, the door to the Break just flies open, right? This guy comes stomping outside, but he has flip-flops on. Right? He has sandals on, flip-flops, whatever. I'm not sure if anybody has tried to stomp on a flip-flop before or seen somebody try to stomp on a flip-flop before, but it does not sound threatening at all. And as a matter of fact, the only thing you really hear is the sound of the flip-flop slapping the back of the person's heel. So that's what was happening to this guy. This guy stomps outside, stomps across the street, stomps into this parking lot, but all you see is this just super mean mug, salty face, and the sound of flip-flops slapping the back of this guy's heels. And so he walks into the parking lot, which is dark, and he just disappears into the darkness, and all you hear is the back of his flip-flops slapping. You hear his flip-flops slapping the back of his heels. So he's walking away, and you just hear flop, flop, flop. And it just fades and fades and fades. You can't see the guy anymore. And we just are just like looking at the darkness until the sound goes away. And we just look back at each other like, what the fuck? And we didn't find out until later and as to what actually happened, because our friend came outside and explained that he just cheesed him out of the tournament. So that was the night that I first met Dre and Meza. And that's one of my favorite memories of the FGC. It's one of my favorite salty exits of all time. So I'm going to go ahead and give you back to the show now.
So, you know, at one point he was like, yo, you guys want to do a show? And it was just me and Meza at the time. Me, Meza, and Mikey. Shout outs to Mikey. Shout outs to Key Lock. Like, for the OGs that know, Mikey was a good piece of it. He's like that. He was that in between. He wasn't casual, but he wasn't hardcore. He was like right in between. So he knew his shit. But he wasn't in the competitive scene like me and Meza, where at this point we're traveling, we're going out playing games.
We were doing so much.
Traveling across, around the country to compete and stuff. I was you know, starting streaming back in 2014. No, I was starting before that, but like, you know, I was helping my local scene stream. And that's how I got into production, to be honest. You know, I came from an IT background. I jumped into production because I also came from schooling when it came to that. But you know, Ja gave us the opportunity, like, you guys want to do a show here? Because I was already, I think, I don't know at the time, I was already might have been writing for Mash Those Buttons. If you look back, some of my earliest reviews I've ever done in gaming journalism, what little career I had in it, started in MTB as well. And it was fun because, you know, I just love gaming. I'm a gamer firsthand, a video gamer firsthand. Anything and everything about video games is very intriguing to me. The design, the programming, the mythology behind it, the thought process, everything about it. I am a student of it. So this was just another opportunity for me to do it. And then they were like, hey, you want to do a show? They're like, hell yeah, let's do a show. I wouldn't think, A, I underestimated how much work a show takes. Even though Job warned us, was like, yo, this is going to take work. You're like, we got it. It's not a big deal.
I'll say this. It's funny because, like, when we first got into it, we were like, yeah, this is going to be easy. We're just going to be ourselves and always just act like ourselves.
Yeah.
And then we got times. We had, you know, limitations. We had times we had to record. Times we had to study whatever was going on.
Y'all can't do a 3-hour show. Like, what? Why not? Because he's got to, like, you know, he's got to update it. And also, remember, when we first started, it was once a month. The show was once a month. Do you have any idea at the livelihood at, you know, 2014 when the FGC is just popping?
I think we had
once a month, try to cover 30 days worth of news in like 2 hours?
Yeah, I think we had 2.5 hour shows. We had 2.5 hour shows. I remember that. That was crazy. I didn't, like, it doesn't even make sense to me because now I'm like, oh, we're doing hour shows. And I'm just like, man, we used to always say there's not enough damn time to cover this much with this much amount of time we have, like 2.5 hours. We were like, we can't cover 30 days. It's just impossible. And then I remember us like slowly trying to find ways to just be like, all right, we can't cover this. We got to throw this out. Like, it's just so much. It's so hard. It's difficult.
So we do this for a couple of years. At one point, Mikey steps off, you know, like I said, he had to take care of things and, you know, and he stepped off, you know, he came off the show and it was just me and Meza. We held it down for a good while. And then came, you know, I know I'm kind of fast forwarding a lot, but then it wasn't until Evo Japan, right? Yeah. The very first Evo Japan was when we recorded from across the world. Literally across the world. I'm in Japan and Gabe was with me at Evo Japan. We were there because at the time I was doing video work. I was sent out there on a job. It was a vacation. Like, I actually had time out there. But then I realized my dates landed at Evo Japan. And I was like, yo, I'm already going to be there. And I ended up doing some contracting work. And I covered Evo Japan. I was on stage, you know, recording matches. I was up there. It was actually a really, really crazy experience. But Gabe was, you know, came along. In true FGC fashion, like, yo, dog, you got a room?
I got 4 days off. I can go.
Yeah, he's like, I got 4 days, I can make it.
And I had 4 days there.
And then he jumped on and you didn't even record in Japan. It was before we were on Mondays. I think we were Wednesdays or Tuesdays or something.
I arrived Tuesday morning and then I drove to Meza's house. Almost got in an accident on the way to Meza's house, because I ran out of
jet lag at this point too.
But I ran out of gas because my dad's truck was like 0 miles to empty when it was...
And you're like, I can get another 10
there. The meter was like in the middle of the tank. And then I get on the highway and it's like, no. And I'm like, oh, and I missed the shoulder. So cops had to... Anyway, doesn't matter. They had to push my car off the road. My dad's old truck, rest in peace.
Yo, I love that
but
truck.
But yeah, we get there. We're all delayed. My bad. I know the truck, yeah. funny story, just real quick, reminiscing. We went to... the Fall Classic and to Civil War in that red truck in 2013. We took mad trips. Yo. And you know what's funny? The first trip to Civil War in Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, I had a broken axle on the truck the whole time.
Yep, he did. We didn't even know.
Yeah, we didn't know until we got to the Philadelphia airport. And we're like, yo, it's only going straight when I go over 60. So let's keep it over 60. or let's also keep it in traffic, and then we can actually move. Because any time between...
this only stays straight going 60. Anytime we were
between 20 miles an hour... Yeah. Anytime we were between 20 miles an hour and 40 miles an hour, it would swerve or swivel. And I'm like, all right, this is bad.
You can only say that shit to your friends that you are comfortable. Like, yo, you know, you just look at things. You're just looking at it, and you just turn around to them like... We might just die. And it's like, as long as we make it, dog, to the hotel, I'm tired.
Exactly. Right.
Like,
so sorry.
It's insane. Yeah, oh, man. It's insane. I'm just thinking about all the times. God.
So no, that's fine. Goodness. We get there, we do everything, and we record it late or whatever it is, and we talk about Evo Japan, and I was like, all right, cool, I'm sure. What else, Dre? After that, what happened?
So he leaves and he goes back. I don't hear from him for a minute because I'm like, yo, I really want to get Gabe in here because I wanted Gabe's, because I can't just. Like, it's just me telling Meza about, like, Evo Japan, which, like, it could work, but it'd be great to have someone else that, because yeah. I was doing work. Mm-hmm. Like, you were there. Not only were you there playing yeah. casuals, competing, you were mm-hmm. put on camera for an interview because yeah, you so won funny. Something. That's why you got the cup of noodles hat and everything. Like,
I'll get it if you want. No.
Gabe is famous maybe in later, Japan now.
Yeah, Gabe is hella famous in Japan. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know, he just has that face, and they just brought him in front of the camera. Actually, I have pictures of just behind the scenes, and Gabe's just like...
Yeah, because I was at a table in the back with a guy who lived in Seattle, who only lived, like, a train ride away in Japan. Mm. So, white, tall dude, he was a player.
You were just meeting someone for a Spanish, somebody else too, that I right? could
speak,
like,
speak English with, and the dudes were like, the producers were like, hey, we want to kind of interview you guys. And that was, like, the weekend before the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And I was wearing this. I wasn't wearing this shirt. This is a Super Bowl shirt.
What a year!
I know, it's 2018. Yeah, I was wearing it like the Northeast. The what is it? The NFC shirt. So then I was gonna take off my Marvel shirt and be like, yeah, you know, birds, go birds. But then they were like, no, just like I had a Marvel shirt, so that's kind of why they picked me. So it's fine.
Yeah.
I just want to say real quick. I think it's interesting because most people think that Gabe was like. Just brought onto the show, and he was like a part of the show. He actually was a guest first, so it's kind of crazy. Like, we kept making him a guest, and then eventually became like someone who was like, filling that spot.
That's what started the role, like, because we were starting, because you know, people, like, this is the part where, like, a lot of work when it comes to a podcast, you know, people have lives, like, we have lives outside of this. Might not seem like it, but, you know, we all got jobs, we got families, we've got relationships, you get busy sometimes, and sometimes things don't line up, and it became a real big thing where if one of us just couldn't make it, like, the show just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Like, it was inconsistent. That was one of the big things we had to fix, was like, all right, we need a backup here. And it used to be with Mikey. But then we were consistent for so long, and then, you know, it kind of made sense because all three of us have been pretty involved in our quote unquote careers in fighting games, in our entire, you know, series. We've been in all these different tournaments together, we've stayed in hotel rooms together, we've competed, we've been in teams together to go play, like, and it just made sense. You know, if this is a show about people talking fighting games, why not do it with the friends, the people that were, you know, with you like that? So, you know, at one point we're like, yo, Gabe, do you want to just get on? Like, do you want to do something? And Gabe, like an idiot, said yes. So, you know, tough luck, Charlie. You got.
You know what's messed up? Gabe hid from the whole time that he was like kind of like not trying to do the forums, but he was a writer and he went to school for it, English major. Yeah, so, he was all like, I don't know how to do
all
this.
All the descriptions and stuff that you guys might not be aware of, you know, that's a form that we fill out, we write up, and Gabe's literally the only one here that's an English major. And he's like, oh, I don't want to do it because I don't think I can write. Now, I told him, like, dog, like, if Ja can give me a game review and expect me to write, and English isn't even my first language, I'm sure you can make this work, dog. And then now he's just like, it's not a big deal.
Just don't look at the description from 2 weeks ago because I messed that up.
So the show, to be honest, looking back, you know, 200 episodes, it's been incredible for me.
Yeah.
Because it's given me the opportunity to, one, be consistent in such a creative process of doing a podcast. Like, you know, this was just a show to have fun, right? Like, sure, it's content for MTB, which, you know, that means we're supporting a friend, which I will always do, you know, support your homies in their creative ventures, no matter who you are. But too, we got to bring, you know, something that I've spent years doing, competing, and the relationships I've created from it. And to be honest, things like fighting games are the reason I have a career in production. You know, I'm a broadcast director now. It's because I started from doing those community streams with friends and learning it those years and years ago. So the show is kind of like almost like a love letter to those years that I've spent. And if that could help bring someone in, and, you know, A, if it means they could have a good time with friends to press buttons and talk shit, be salty, or even have them potentially create a career in some way or help them introduce them to a path that lets them do that, I would be ecstatic about it. So that's really what the show means to me, especially when it came to the people listening. Like, I don't know if you guys remember the tweets or, you know, the messages. Yeah. For one, all the feedback we've gotten over the years, it's insane. Honestly don't know how deep those hit for us to A, read them or even receive them. And then B, some of the stories we hear of people putting our shows on when they go to locals because it's an hour away or 2 hours away and they always put it on and they've sent us screenshots for it. Like, I'm ready to tear up just thinking about it because I'm like, wow, that's incredible that we were able at least to share that with people. I think it was just been an amazing journey for me personally to see that. And 200 episodes, like, I don't know how many people you can say, you know, this is crazy, but it's like 200 episodes. Like, how often can someone say that? They've like done something 200 times like that. That's you can just get to.
I'm looking at 117 and the profile, the picture that we have for 117 for core values.
Core values, yeah. McRibs are available right now, by the way.
Yeah,
they are live right now. You can go get them. But
I think it's interesting because obviously my feelings are the same to some extent. And for me, it's more like, I didn't know how hard it was to do a podcast. I always talked about like, oh, I'll do a podcast, like throw it together with some friends. Who the hell is going to edit it? Whatever, we'll throw it up raw. And I'm like, now I'm like looking back, I'm like, you know, we did a lot of hard work studying everything. We were going out to everything. And then I felt like we found ways to maximize that and break everything up. But it was still a struggle. Like, I love fighting games. I gave up dancing for this. So for me, this is always going to be a passion for me for now. And it's interesting just like, I don't have to play the fighting games. Like, I've watched you, Dre, just slowly go to the production side. You're like, I'll play it here and there, but I still have some connection when we jump back on the show. And for me, that's like how I feel sometimes. I'm like, oh, I missed like 2 weeks of fighting games. All right, let me go study up. I got to make sure I'm on top of it for the podcast because I need to know about it. But it's also pushed me to want to go out to more places back in the day to make sure we're getting that content, make sure we know what's going on. Because there's things that people won't see unless they're there. So that's the most amazing part about kind of coming to our show. Like, I felt like watching other people's podcasts, not just fighting games, but just in general, I'm like, man, these are boring as hell to me because I'm like, I feel like there's like this crazy structure where they have to like rifle off everything, points of views. But I was like, it doesn't feel like we're just chilling. It doesn't feel like we're just talking about what actually happens. So that's why I kind of really fell in love with this podcast. And I fell in love with the idea that I could hear people say, I got back into fighting games as someone who dropped off of it. I got back in because
they connected, right?
Yeah, it's just insane.
To be honest, things like World Warrior, you know, that segment, which, yes, it will eventually come back, guys, as soon as we're allowed to travel. You know, that I'm going to just keep it 100. If you look back, it was rare that I was on that section to talk about because I just couldn't go out and go to some of these events. But these two fools above and below me were out there grinding still. They were still in the front lines playing, competing, hanging out. You know, they were still their repertoire. They still were able to make that time. And, you know, when we did World Warriors, it was great for me to hear those things because I was like, yeah, I remember that or this venue. And yeah, these are exactly the experiences I reminisce and I wish I was able to do. But doing the shows still kind of let me stay connected in some way, shape, or form, which, you know, some people don't have that. And that's what I guess the product of the show ended up becoming was some people's ability to escape to it or to hear that or reminisce or even hear about the current without being able to make it. They can still stay, you know, that connected to the community, which I think it's very, very special.
Real quick, I just want to say I could tell which ones are mine. If you guys didn't know, it's who's writing what based off of what's being said. If it's like names like Meza and Static or Crash Tag, that's me. I'm writing that. Because
I thought names. That was me.
I've definitely written names.
Really? I thought that was me. I always put who's there so we can be like, okay. So all hosts are here or this is here.
I don't want to read any.
If there's like a joke in the description or some really wise ass shit written, 9 times out of 10, it was me.
Yeah.
If it's some dumb shit that's in there, like that's supposed to like be a joke on what I'm saying, like it, or on what is being said, it's usually me. Just, remember, that's how you can tell in the description, guys.
But then some of these, like they were written
at like midnight on NSG at localhost.
2 o'clock in the morning. I think there's or one like that.
I think there's I one down there. The, wait, okay? Scroll down a bit.
Are you okay? Was definitely scroll down a bit. Are you okay? Was Are you okay? Was definitely written at a localhost. I'm positive. Because
I could still nobody I still have to pictures of the very first live that we
episode,
did.
Nazo. Episode 142 though.
Oh god.
Is it's 2 a.m. Go home.
Go I home. I think one of us said that to each other, like, yo, it's 2 a.m. Just, oh, no. Just I think fucking that was be done with too. It, dog.
Was I? Oh,
like, just be done with it. It's too late. Yeah, I remember. So just looking at the catalog, it's kind of insane. And this you know, as we kind of close thoughts on here and kind of look towards 2021, you know, there's a lot of things that are still definitely in my sights when it comes to this show. And I know I've said it before, especially longtime listeners know, you know, content is another piece within the show that we want to focus on. And we, to be honest, I haven't been able to follow through with it, but it's something I'm looking for 2021 to do, like, where we want it to go. To be honest, you know, this is the best. I'm gonna just keep it 100. This is the best underground fighting game podcast. We are not Ultra Chen. We are not No Frills. We are not the Event Hubs podcast. Those are mainstream because people know them because they are marketed. You know, we've built ours out of just being the underground. Like, there is, outside of obligations to MASH, this is a show that is just built for the fighting game community with no strings attached. We don't have sponsors to plug in. We don't make revenue from this, which I wish we did, because all that revenue is just going to go right to Ja, because he's the one that's hosting the site. He's put the money up for this and all the shows you see on MTB, right? You know, the goal for me, if I were to have any for the show, is to eventually maybe finally get that bleeding to stop on his end. So that way, it could, even if we just break even, and we don't have to. We don't have to do it. This is not what this was built for, and I don't think it'll ever be meant to be something that's monetized like that. But if it was, I wanted to just go to Josh so he can pay those server bills and be good. Because, you know, if it's our passion project, it shouldn't come out of someone else's pocket like that.
And it's interesting, if you guys haven't been to the website lately, he actually just had to tell himself after he updated it. He was like, just stop working on other things for now.
The site.
So
yeah, like this dude this like really kills himself over a lot. And if you want to talk about passion, like, this guy's is through the roof. I actually do honestly look up to like his work ethic on this shit. Like, he's just like,
he won't let us go either. Like,
he won't let us go. If you guys would only understand the shit we put this guy through, our producer, you know, the guy that makes these shows happen for you guys, you'd be like, you guys are some assholes. I'm like, I know we are, but it was growing pains, and trust, we're learning from it. But like I said, in terms of the show, you know, content is a big thing. I have sections for the show that I want to build and put together. I just have to sit down and really finish building them out and how to implement them. Because on the other side of it, I do the majority of like the tech side of this when it comes to the streams, when it comes to outlining how the show was. I did a lot of it, but I get a lot of feedback from the co-host because it's, you know, I want their creative thoughts on it and their eyes on it too. But, you know, I want the show to kind of expand and have more things that could benefit you, the listener. Like, you know, I'll throw some out there. You know, 2-minute matchup. I want to do this is supposed to be a segment where, you know, we take 2 minutes where we're taking people from the scene that are competing or something, can give you tips about it, whether it's a character, a matchup, a specific technique, something to kind of help you learn something every episode you come in here. So you can be like, oh, shit, I never knew that. Or maybe you're playing the most current game and we have someone, you know, we could just go and reach out and get someone really good. One of the top 8 players, competitors out there, be like, yo, we want you to do a 2-minute matchup. Just like record for 2 minutes. Tell us about this matchup and slap it together and have it a segment here. You know, games to play. You hear it all. This one just came to me the other day. Why should you play this game? Why should you play Soul Calibur 6? Because if you like this, and that, this game is for you. If you like Marvel, or if you like games that are like this, well, guess what? Marvel's up your alley. This is why you should play it. Or, you know, the indie games. Why should you play Them's Fighting Herds? Why you should play Skullgirls? Why you should play MKX, you know, or MK in general, like Mortal Kombat. It doesn't even have to be the most current game. It could be previous games. Content pieces like that are things we want to implement on the show, because I feel like it's something beneficial for you, the listener, to have, because you know, we tend to get a lot of the updates. We tend to sit around a lot of the news, which, you know, let me finish this off with this. Is like, yes, we don't sometimes cover certain games because the news that we want to bring up, I feel is like A, kind of important, and because like I'm not just gonna post up a news piece just for time. Because if I'm gonna have you sit down and listen to us anywhere between an hour, hour 15, hour 30 at most, I want to make sure the stuff that we're going to talk about is something that hits you. And we might not hit every community every time. I want to be very clear. We try to hit every community we can. It's just that when there's a lull in it and there's like not much going on, there's not much we can do. And it isn't just us. If you want to, you know, you want to see the proof in the pudding, like look at your event hubs, look at your other, look at your toptier.gg or whatever. Look at their articles.
They're very fluff. You will
see that kind of same pattern, because if the industry does not give us anything to look at, to news, like we can't report on it. Yeah. And I'm not going to grab Joe. Like, we have a random section, yes, to grab Joe Schmo Spaboni, talk about frame data in here or this game. And that's fine because there's a section for that. But when it comes to like getting each and every game, we kind of are tied to the industry. So when we don't get fed that, it's kind of hard for us to build something on it. And I'm not going to give you fake news, or I'm not going to waste your time. Like, you know, not to point you out, Gabe, but it's like, I'm not going to be like, in other news, we just got a voice line from Dan for Street Fighter V. That's your Street Fighter V news. This voice, we got a voice line from Dan. That's it. That, like, that wasn't, right. That didn't really benefit anybody right there. It's like, so what? We got a voice line. Not a big whoop. I'm
it
not.
Kind of, yeah, kind of
is it a mechanic? No, because that's right. Not the shit people want to hear. It
kind of reminds me of how Shoryuken used to just write any piece of like pop culture Street Fighter reference. And I'm just like, yo, yeah. We don't care if it's American Dad.
It's literally called fluff pieces. Yeah. Like, Kotaku. We don't do fluff pieces because we're not a fluff podcast. That's not what we're here for. This is not the fluff podcast. This is Double Tap. We are for the community, by the community, and that's all we want to talk about is the shit that the community wants to hear. Every once in a while, we'll sprinkle in things, but I'm not going to force it, and I would never want to force it for anyone else to listen to it. So it's like, I would just instantly take off my headphones. I'm like, why are you guys reporting on shit like this? Like, there's no point.
Here's the thing, and I think people don't also understand this, is there's two things. One, when we do those like randoms in FGC, we're usually finding information that's just like outlandish usually, or why is that happening?
Yeah, there's a spectrum of things.
You remember, this is still one of my favorite episodes. I don't remember the number, but it was in the very beginning. It was like maybe around the 40s or 50s, where we talked about the person who was, I believe it was in like China or Japan, and they were playing KOF. And I think it was the wife who pulled out a butcher knife to get him to come back, or some dude got stabbed by, like, got cut by a butcher knife. It was so interesting because we're like, over a fucking fighting game, bro? Like, you pulling out butcher knives?
That was on the higher end of holy shit, like, unbelievable. Like, that. But if it was like, you know, like I said, the voice line, or, oh, so and so is creating cool art pieces. I'm like,
we don't really talk about that.
Like, that's not really news.
It's different when we talk
really
about
something.
Like mods. Like mods are a good example.
Even the Iron Man Infinite on the MIDI controller, right? Like, that's kind of, that's hella random, right? But the reason it was random and it was interesting is because, like, if you listen to the beat and it also coincides with the whole idea of combos and rhythms, and that's something you can pull out, like, wow, look at that. There's an actual literal rhythm to something that people would know about. That's kind of on that higher spectrum. Is it outlandish? No, but it is not exactly whack, right? It's something very unique, very different. So we tend to gauge things like that. Otherwise, you know, we'd be making fluff pieces a lot. And A, we put shit on the show here that we're kind of like, we find that's interesting. And if it's not interesting, it's not on the show.
I will say.
And I know that's kind of like, well, your taste is not for everyone. I'm like, it isn't. And I'm not saying it is. But we try to kind of reach that middle ground for everyone.
Like, I will state for the record, you guys see me pull out a lot of different, you know, anime-esque or random fighting games. It's because I like those, but I feel like people don't know about them. And they should get some limelight while all these other games always get it. So that's why I do that. But the biggest thing I want people to also understand is when we do this podcast, we can't get everything in 1 week. We can't. It's impossible. Also, we learned that the hard way. It's been hard these past two and a half hours.
We got to speed run through that shit, but it's like, that's not fun.
So like that Soul Calibur stuff was like 2 weeks ago. I brought it back on because I was actually told by somebody that, hey, you missed some Soul Calibur shit. I was like, look, we had somebody on podcast for X amount of time. We only have that X amount of time. So like if you even see our previous podcast, like we would usually have them on for the whole show or for a segment. That's depending if they want to be on or if we have too much to cover. So there's just things we have to sacrifice sometimes. It's not like we're trying to take away from any community. We're going to bring something back. Like Dre just brought something that was supposed to be last week back. So those are like the little things that we have to make executive decisions on right then and there during actually sometimes the show. more than just like outside of it. So it's a difficult, It's almost like a second job that, yeah, you can lose if you're not doing it, but you know, at the same time, you want people to enjoy what you're saying.
And also off of that, like, for once, I mean, there's always a lull between us because neither of us are Tekken players. So to have an actual Tekken episode felt kind of really good, you know, like to be able to talk about, honestly, one of the best fighting games that I don't play was actually a pretty good for me to, you know, sort of get back into that phase, even though I haven't played it in about a month or so. But again, it's one of those games that I really enjoy watching. So like, when those episodes do come, you'll know. When there's news that's big, you'll definitely know we're going to cover it.
Absolutely, because you know, we also pride ourselves in the news we cover. That's the other side of it. When we put something up, it's because it's something I would, nine times out of 10, would love to hear about, or it's been talked about. It's a hot topic, so we want to talk about it. B, it's what people want to hear. And C, we'll create a conversation that even if it wasn't on the show and we were at an event, and I was just talking to, like, you know, we were just homies, like, oh, hanging out at the event. I'm like, yo, did you see that fucking Iron Man, like, MIDI controller joint? No? Yo, let me bring up the video. Mm-hmm. It's a conversation we would have in person or talk about in person because it's interesting or it's prevalent to, you know, maybe the friends and the people we'd be out hanging out with at events, right? So we treat you the same, and we kind of look at it the same exact way because that's the only way we can get that. You're giving us your time. We want to make sure it's at least worth it, whether it's you're entertained, whether you're informed, you know, those are the big check marks for us.
I know I'm cutting it close on time, but I just want to say for the record, something that's important to me is if you guys haven't noticed over the course of time, as we've done this show, things have drastically changed. Like probably like 40, 50 episodes. That's because we're always talking to Jaw, and Jaw's always like, well, what do you want to be with your show? Do you want to be TMZ style? Do you want to be this? And we have to decide that based off of what we've been saying this whole time, which you hear us always say, it needs to be, feel like you're sitting around, you know, on the couch with your homies or at an event drinking, you know, talking about what's new, what's happening in the community. And that's what defined at least what we wanted to do. But I see a lot of other podcasts just, and look, I'm going to be honest, you all fucking ramble, all right? Concise. That's how we get it. That's how we kind of get it done. With three people. Gabe, you're fine. I'm just saying, like, you know, the other podcasts, like, there's nothing wrong with them. If they want to talk long, that's fine. But that's not our stitch. That's not what we want to do. We want to get everything across to you guys so that at the end of the day, we can actually have this conversation outside of it, too, in the Discord or anything else.
Yeah. You know? Straight up. But, I mean, with that, that's actually going to tie us in close to the end. I know we wanted to talk about 2021 coming up. But I think, you know what, it wouldn't be a bad idea to actually talk about it while we're in 2021. So we're actually going to close out the show with that. I want to say a quick heads up to everyone that has listened. Thank you very much for hanging out with us for the last episode of 2020. Thanks to all those that have stuck around years on end now. Years on end. It's kind of incredible for me to say that. It's actually it's taken me back up pretty hard to say those words and that we do have listeners that are like that. That, you know, listen to us on a weekly basis, like, retweet, send us our feedback, tag us on things, whoever posts on our Discord, you know, cool articles that of course we will cover, or we'll have great conversations with. Want to just say thank you all, you know, that's for the first 200 and then to another 200 after this. Mm-hmm. And of course I do want to thank, my hosts here. The show honestly could not be what it is without the two of you. Meza, we pride or die since the beginning, man. And then Static G has just been able to just pick up right where, you know, we gave him where to start off and has just been doing a phenomenal job since. And, you know, to another 200 with you guys until we're hella old and now 09ers are the super OGs of doing this.
My goal is to at least get Sako on the show once. You don't even got to speak English. Know what?
If there is one guest that you guys, listeners out there, would love for us to get, I will make it happen in 2021.
That's the plan.
I will make it happen in 2021. Just give me a name and I will make it. Someone in the FGC. All right, don't give me like a celebrity or something like that. That just doesn't work. But someone FGC related, I will make it happen.
Like,
I will
get
on this show.
Grow your hair out and then we'll say we got Slash on the show.
I can't. Damn. Unfortunately, I can't.
He's like, I shaved it.
Obligations. I have obligations with the government, yeah. So they can't let me grow my hair.
Guilty Gear Slash.
With that, but with that, guys, I want to say once again, thank you for hanging out. This has been the final episode of 2020. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Of course, you guys can check out the show on Twitter at DoubleTapFGC. You can follow me at CrashTechVS. You can follow Meza at MezaFGC on Twitch, on Twitter, Insta, all over the place. Static Gorilla. You can check him at Static Gorilla on Twitch and on Twitter. You can see him streaming random games, or you can also see him as a regular at Tampa Never Sleeps. If you want to see some more of his UMVC action, you can go check it out there.
Right.
Make sure to follow Mash Those Buttons at the MTB Network on Twitter. And of course, we have our Discord, which is discord.me/MashTheButtons. There's a double tap section right there where we post articles, we talk, community questions, of course, when we get those involved. That's the spot that you want to be at. I'm seeing a lot more people coming in. We get notifications, people join, get that little FGC flair going on, that role. So I appreciate everyone that does come in. But yo, come on through. If you really want to get into fighting games, or you're already into fighting games, just want to have a spot to talk, chill, talk some shit, get some games on, because people definitely run some sets out there. We would love to run some sets with you guys, looking to get a community night going as well. You know, go join us there. You guys can, of course, help the podcast by supporting it, by tweeting it when it goes live, tagging who you think might like it, might enjoy the show. If we're talking shit about somebody, let them know. Come on board, tag them so we can talk shit to their face, or at least I will. That's how it goes. Of course, you guys can give us any feedback, whether it's on iTunes. Remember, we're also on Spotify. By the way, our Spotify wrap-up was disgusting. 34 countries, hella love from the UK, Canada, and such, too. Yeah, like, all you listeners are just like, shout out. We're international like that, I guess. That's kind of insane. So all love to everyone, all our international listeners as well, all our UK heads. I would love to go out to UK and experience some of the scenes out there. I hear it's some of the greatest. I mean, considering everything's happening, or was supposed to happen in France or some shit for the past, like, year or so, and it keeps getting moved over. Now we're in DR. Who would have guessed that?
Hey.
But, yeah, shout out to all you guys once again. But yeah, guys, like I said, rating and reviewing the show also helps a lot. We'd like to hear how we're doing so we can, you know, keep doing things right and what we're doing wrong. What would you like us to do? You know, give us a rating. Let us know. You can't expect us to change without yelling at us first. All right. That's how Mom Dukes did it. Kind of helps out. So I guess. So thanks a lot for hanging out once again. We will see you guys in 2021 for our 201st episode. Be safe. Enjoy the rest of your holidays. Remember, if they are plus on block, don't press a button. Just don't do it.
Never.
Impressive.
Stay tuned after.
Never.
EX headbutt. Okay, we'll always press.
unless you got EX headbutt. There you go. Or EXDP. That's about it. Stay tuned after the show, guys, and hear about our other shows here on the MTV Network. But until then, we'll see you guys next year. Later.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord.